Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, from high atop the ice surface at the MTS Center. Welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game podcast. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined in the MTS Center press box by my colleague, Richard Pollock. Producer Remus is doing his job, as always. The Pittsburgh Penguins have just defeated the Winnipeg Jets by a 3-1 margin in what, Richard, I hope you would agree with me, was probably the most entertaining game that we have seen here at MTS Center for at least the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, Drew, I would agree. I thought that the score wasn't necessarily indicative of the excitement level in the arena. Sometimes you get 5-4 games and they're exciting and they're a little bit sloppy. Today was a crisp game. It was 3-1, and I thought well played by both sides. I think the Jets actually played very well. You know, they played closer to their ceiling than did Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
But credit where credit's due, and the work ethic, I think, and we've talked about it a lot on the theme of the show on Wednesdays and on Saturdays, and what we've said is play hard, and the fans will understand if you lose. You don't play hard, which I don't think they had up to this point over the past few games, and the fans react negatively. And I thought today the energy in the arena was positive. The atmosphere was good. It was consistently the fans were engaged. And I thought consistently the team was engaged. And I think those are clearly related.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with you. I mean, I think the Jets, for the first time in a number of weeks, put together a full 60-minute effort tonight. And you know, like you said, the score is a little bit flattering to Pittsburgh, you know, winning by the 3-1 margin. But the Jets were consistently in the play. They at times dominated the play. And if it wasn't for a real tremendous effort from Marc-Andre Fleury, the Penguins goaltender tonight, the Jets easily could have won this game.
I thought a really good point was I actually when I headed up to the washroom quickly before we come on air at this podcast, I caught the end of the, I guess, Hockey Night in Canada recap, and Don and Ron made a really good point. You know, if they could just have hit the net tonight. Mm-hmm. And that was a really good point. And the example they used was Blake Wheeler by the faceoff dot, even inside the faceoff dot, the right faceoff dot with a minute left, down 2-1, and it hits wide and it goes all the way around the boards. And that was kind of a metaphor for the game. The Jets did miss the net a ton. And maybe they get a few more of those pucks on net.
And there's some rebounds there and everything else. I mean, the opportunities that they did have, and there were a few very decent opportunities where some good jam plays in front of the net. Marc-Andre Fleury was really, he was the number one star tonight. Deservingly, he was the best player on the ice. He was the best player for the Pittsburgh Penguins. And I mean, if you had told me at the beginning of the game that you're going to keep Crosby and Malkin to a grand total of one assist by Malkin on a 5-on-3 power play, and that's all they had from Crosby and Malkin, you would think that the Jets would be in an opportunity to win that game, and they were in that opportunity if it wasn't for largely the efforts of Marc-Andre Fleury.
Crosby got an assist, Drew, on that second goal.
Oh, you're right. I do apologize. That was another assist for Crosby there.
But the point is well taken, and it's that, you know, you limit the production of those two superstar players, and they look good in the game. But yeah, they didn't dominate
the game. This was your first opportunity to see Sidney Crosby live and in person.
Mine, yes.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, you know, he's obviously a tremendous player, and you notice him every time he's on the ice. Mm-hmm. But this was not an overwhelming performance by Sidney Crosby tonight. He was okay, and probably for Sidney Crosby standards, probably mediocre even.
Yeah, for his standards, mediocre. You know, you still see the beautiful curls and creating plays out of essentially nothing, and the respect that he garners from the opposing teams. And you know, he was matched up against Bogosian all night, so not his best game. Still had his spurts, but I agree, Drew, not his best game. And part of that, he'll probably put blame on himself, probably a lot of blame when it comes to judging his play tonight. But credit where credit's due, in my opinion, the Jets played him tough. I thought they engaged him in contact. I thought Mark Stewart got under his skin a bit. Jim Slater gave him a couple cross checks. You got to keep him honest, and you got to play hard. And I thought the Jets did against Crosby tonight. I thought Malkin was a little bit more dangerous. Mm-hmm. Seemed to create a lot in open ice and create open ice for himself. Both of those, in fact. But at the same time, Pavlik was sharp tonight. We'll talk about the goals. I thought the second one was a little bit weak.
Yeah. But at a time when if he had been able to come up with a big save in that instance, hard to kill him for it. It wasn't a bad goal.
You don't kill him for it, but it went through him.
That's right. And when it goes through him, you want him to save it, especially when it was a 5-on-3 situation. The Jets were getting closer and closer to being able to have killed off that 5-on-3. And if he makes that save, and I bet you Andre Pavlik himself would say, that's a save I should have made. If he makes that save, then, you know, maybe the Jets kill it off and it stays a 1-0 game as opposed to becoming 2-0. But that's a lot of ifs. Pittsburgh opened the scoring tonight at the 3:19 mark of the first period. Craig Adams gets his first of the year, assist to Joe Vitale and Chris Letang. You saw this goal and you're like, oh man, what kind of night is it going to be for the Jets? It's a shot by Vitale. There's a rebound there. There's four Jets around Craig Adams. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, James Wright has an opportunity to clear the puck out instead of clearing it to the side, or sort of clears it right up the middle, and they start playing ping pong, him and Adams, and Adams gets it on the third chance. He gets it into the empty net, and you're thinking, oh man, is this another poor effort coming for the Jets?
The play broke down in many ways, but the play really started with a terrible play by Zach Redmond getting beat, I believe it was by Joe Vitale, wide in the offensive zone. Can't happen. He got caught flat-footed. It led to the entire disarray in the zone. Should the disarray have been as bad as it was? No. And Mark Stewart, I think, lost his man in front. And James Wright kind of skated by the net a little bit too far. And Adams gets three cracks at an open net, essentially. And he's not a great player offensively. And he scores. But Zach Redmond actually really blew the play to begin with.
Right.
And that was... The Jets have had finer defensive moments, I'd say.
I would agree with you there. And if somebody comes in, and instead of just sort of playing patty cake with Craig Adams, if somebody comes in and puts him on his ass, there's no scoring opportunity there. And that's where you're... At that point in time, you're sort of holding your breath. Oh, man. 3:19 in, you're down 1-0. This isn't a team with a lot of confidence. Are they going to wilt in the pressure? To their credit, they didn't wilt at all, and there wasn't any more scoring until the third period, but the Jets did have certainly had some good opportunities. But before we move into the second period, which is really where the last 10 minutes of the second period is really where they controlled the flow of the game, have to talk about Toby Enstrom leaving the ice surface in the first period early on, gets hit into the boards immediately. Like, one of those things where not the guy's shaken up, but the guy is immediately down, grabbing his shoulder. The play is going on around him, but he's skating to the bench, and he can barely make it there. Looked serious, did not return for the rest of the game. I'd be stunned if we see Toby Enstrom Sunday night against the Boston Bruins.
I would be surprised as well. I mean, we heard he was injured. They wouldn't specify lower or upper body. I'm assuming it's upper body.
When you see the guy leaving the ice, holding that, I don't think it's a leg injury and he's faking at that point.
Or as we joked, an out-of-body experience.
Yeah.
Because they don't give any details on injuries.
The Jets PR staff came by and they said, Enstrom's done for the night. And so we looked over and said, lower or upper? And they just said, yeah, and walked away.
Yeah, so they don't really reveal any of those details, but... the Jets, you can say, can't afford to lose. I don't necessarily like that expression, especially because the Jets essentially, with Bogosian back in the picture tonight, were injury-free. And as far as I'm concerned, doesn't really count as an injury because I don't think the Jets' need is really on the right side. And maybe he slides in there for Thorburn, but I don't know how much of an upgrade we're really talking about there. So overall, they were injury-free tonight. And when you look over in Ottawa or in Toronto or... Montreal, Patchy, ready for a period of time.
Injuries are...
Kessler in Vancouver. Yeah. You can't be complaining about injuries. So it's a tough one for sure. But if I had to... And you don't want to say, obviously you don't want anybody injured. But if you're the Jets fan, based on what Bogosian played tonight, based on the way he played tonight, and based on the needs of this team for more, to me, defensive-oriented play, Bogosian is more important to the cause right now than Enstrom. That's how I feel personally.
I think most fans, they haven't been... Toby's had a bit of a struggle this year. You never want to see a guy injured. He's certainly one of their top three defensemen. Well, but I think there's a clear hierarchy as he's... it's Bogo and it's Bufflin, and not necessarily in that order, but I think Enstrom is the third in that trio.
You get arguments from people on that, Drew. I would tend to agree with you. But you will probably get arguments from people there. But he has 13 points, but he's kind of given it back defensively. So, he's played better, in my opinion. The points aren't a terrific indicator of overall performance. They're an indicator that he's performed well offensively, but as the totality of his game has, to me, been lacking, especially in the defensive end. Mm-hmm. Tonight's injury is going to be tough. We don't know the extent of it and whether or not we're talking about a 4 to 6 week injury here. If it's a shoulder, which some suspect it may be, it's like a separated shoulder. That's a 4 to 6 week injury, as far as
especially a guy who had that broken collarbone last year that he suffered in Florida. Yeah. So I mean, is it a replay of that injury? But it would not surprise me if it's something along those lines. Given his status on the left side, there is that. Is that Klitsam coming back into the lineup? you know, how do you see that? Klitsam or Postma?
You raise a really good point about the left side. And when you talk about that, then it would be because you have Botvin, Bogosian, and Redman all right side guys. If you throw Postma in, if he's had some struggles and you put one of those three guys on the wrong side, and I mean, Pittsburgh had a bunch of guys playing. You know, you had Chris Letang playing portions of tonight's game on the left side, but
Chris Letang is a better player.
That's right. So when you think about it that way, for safety's sake, you probably do is put Klitsam on the bottom pairing with Redmond. We'll talk about this tomorrow to a greater extent, in greater detail, excuse me. And then what you do is you probably keep Stewart with Bufflin or Bogosian, and then you have Hainsey with the other one.
We'll talk about, like you said, well, as soon as we know more about Enstrom's injury, we'll be able to clarify that. The rest of the scoring happened in the third period. The Jets really had a great flurry of opportunities late in the second where they controlled the bulk of the play. They had some good scoring chances. Really, a story of the Jets game. Lots of good scoring chances where they either weren't able to corral a rebound or a bouncing puck or a loose puck in front of Marc-Andre Fleury, or they missed the net on a lot of different chances. But, I mean, it was certainly a good game for the Winnipeg Jets. Third period, at the 15-11 mark, James Neal gets a goal, assists to Malkin and Crosby. It's a 5-on-3. What happens is Zach Redmond, I believe it was Zach Redmond, right? Yeah, yep. Zach Redmond he gets called for interference in what is charitably described as a cheap call by the official.
I'm not one to really pick on the officials in terms of watching these Jets play. I've had issues, you know, I have issues with officiating many times. Overall, I think the Jets games, there's been some iffy calls, but this to me was the worst call of the season.
Especially at a 1-0 game in that crucial opportunity.
You know, I mean, just saw Jerry and Ron were also talking about this. You know, he said, Don Cherry said, you move your feet and you don't get the call, and Redmond kind of stopped and didn't move his feet. And good point, fair enough. But that call, as you said, in this juncture, that call at any point in time, you know, Adams gives a little bit of a back move and a kind of a fake half dive, you know, while he's skating, and that draws the referee. But he didn't really significantly impede his ability to forecheck there. He already had him beat anyways, and he still would have had him beat with that small quote-unquote interference. I thought it was a brutal call. I thought they weren't really calling much tonight, too. I think that's a factor as well.
Mm-hmm. It was a pretty loose game otherwise.
Teams want consistency. Either call everything or call nothing. But if you're calling nothing tonight, which they essentially were, not that there were too many transgressions, but if you're Claude Noel, you got to be thinking, you didn't call much tonight at all, and then you're calling that?
Especially,
like, give me a break.
A couple different opportunities where you could hear clear slashes from up here in the press box went uncalled, and it went both ways. But you're absolutely right. I mean, and it'd be one thing if Redmond interfered with the guy so drastically that the guy, you know, lost position as a result, or Redmond was able to recover, but he wasn't. He still had him beat.
Yeah,
the
exactly.
Penguins guy. So you don't make that call in that opportunity. And then to compound it, the Jets are on a penalty. They're on the penalty kill now, 5-on-4. Mark Stewart takes a tripping call in the neutral zone. Probably a good call. But it's magnified because you've made that first mediocre call.
Exactly. The second call was fine. It was an obvious trip. The problem that you have is, does that trip happen if you don't make the first bad call because they're not on the penalty kill and blah, blah, blah?
So the Jets are now 5-on-3 shorthanded, and they did a pretty good job for the first minute 20, because it was almost a full 2 minute 5-on-3 situation. And for the first minute, you know, minute 20 of the 5-on-3, they had done a good job. They'd cleared the puck a couple times. Pittsburgh finally sets up. You know, you got Malkin up at the point. You got Neal down on the right side. The face-off dot almost. Malkin passes it over to Neal. It's a one-timer by Neal. And it's one thing if Pavlik's moving across crease at that point, but he had set up position-wise. You know, he had the angle cut down on him, and Neal blasted it through him, and probably a goal that Andre Pavlik, especially in that situation, and especially knowing what it means to his team if he's able to save it, probably wants to have that one back.
Completely agree. I mean, you know, James Neal's a great shooter. Malkin's so dangerous. The 5-on-3 talent they have out there is, you know, second to none probably. But overall, Drew, the goal by Pavlik is one he'd want back. And he wasn't the reason they lost tonight, but that's probably going to keep him up at night a bit tonight.
Absolutely. The Jets are able to get on the board at the 18-25 mark of the third period. To their credit, they could have wilted, but they did try and keep fighting, and they fought all game, and that's what the fans appreciated, was the effort that the team put out. It's Andrew Ladd, who's just been really on fire in terms of scoring goals, his seventh of the year so far. Assists to Brian Little and Blake Wheeler. That whole line played well again today. I thought, of the three, I thought Blake Wheeler was the worst of the three, but it wasn't that he was that bad by any means. But Little and Ladd again played a good game today. Good forecheck, puck goes to Little, sort of slides it across to Ladd. Ladd waits out Marc-Andre Fleury and backhands it into a sort of an empty net at that point in time. 2-1 for the Penguins, and there's a minute 35 left in the game.
Yeah, I wasn't sure, you know, if Kane or Wheeler kind of popped that one out, but it ended up being Wheeler's assist. Little got the puck, kind of made a move, looked like he was ready to shoot. The puck hopped off his stick, and what happens when you go to the net, like Andrew Ladd does, is you get that tally, and you make it 2-1. I thought Ladd played a great game. I thought Little played well. I thought Ladd played exceptionally well tonight. Wheeler, he's got some room to move. I thought Gary Wallace wrote about him a couple days ago, and he's right. He needs to step it up, and his stat sheet hasn't been indicative of his play. There's been a lot of that mirage kind of this year.
The stats are flattering to the play of the player.
Yeah.
He seems to be fighting the puck, is my estimation. Yeah. Is Blake Wheeler really just – nothing that he's done this year so far has been especially smooth.
Right, and you know, he's really got to be stronger on the puck for a big guy. I thought he's been getting pushed off the puck quite easily this year. I thought more so than last year even. And it's a confidence thing. Blake Wheeler, to me, is one of the guys on the team who really has shaky confidence, and when he's going great. But he loses it quick. And I think right now he's not playing a confident game. I think Ladd is a player who's a little more self-assured.
Yeah.
And it is what it is.
Jets get the puck deep into the Pittsburgh zone again. Mm-hmm. Net's empty. There's a minute to go in the game. It rings around the boards. It's on the left-hand side. Evander Kane with sort of a wild attempt to throw the puck back into the front of the net area. Really flubs it. Just misses it altogether. Leaves the zone. Craig Adams, empty net. You know, hard to kill the guy for trying something. I mean, maybe you want him to have a little bit more awareness of that time. Like, he had a little bit more time than he probably thought. He didn't have to rush it as much, but it's really hard to kill a guy when you're, I mean, with under a minute to go, when you're down a goal, pretty much everything's a scramble.
Yeah, it's a scramble. I mean, you know, he's just trying to keep the puck in to bounce. I think he took kind of a weird bounce off the board, so no fault there as far as I'm concerned, and it just pops out to Adams. And the Jets had a couple of chances. I think Wheeler, the best shot, we mentioned it earlier in the podcast, missed the net. He hit the net tonight. Bogosian missed the net a couple of times by about a country mile. And if you hit the net, you might have won. And that's I don't know what the missed shots stats say for the Jets. And it's, you know, it depends on how much you have the puck and et cetera, which, you know, they're not per minute missed shots calculations. But they do that quite a bit. And really, if they could just rectify that and get more shots on the net and, you know, it's a fine line when you play hockey between picking corners and missing the net all the time. And if you can pick that corner, it's all fine and dandy. But if it, you know, if one picks a corner out of 30, you're probably better off to have 30 average shots on the net as opposed to one great shot.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with you there. Total shots in the game, Pittsburgh had 28 shots to the Jets, 26 overall. Ice time leaders for the Jets tonight. Let me pull this up. Obviously, the defense had to step up because they were down to five defensemen after Toby Enstrom left the game. So the defensive time leaders, you know, Zach Bogosian in his first game back, he logs 25-38 of ice time. Dustin Byfuglien, 25-55 of ice time. Ron Hainsey led the defense with 28 minutes and 17 seconds. Thought he played well. I thought, you know, for 5D, I thought they all played well.
Yeah, I thought Redmond had his moments tonight, but aside from him, I thought the defense played pretty well as a whole.
Yeah, and I mean, what you see by having Zach Bogosian back there, just his skating ability, it's just beautiful.
You're exactly right. It's just beautiful. I thought his touch was pretty good today for a guy who hadn't been out, who hadn't been playing for so long, and he really impressed me, and he really allows what he also does, Drew, and I know that tonight they had a double attack of Crosby and Malkin, and Sunday it's going to be tough, but when you play against really good, you know, teams that aren't really good, or as good as the teams we're playing against tonight, the Jets are playing against tonight, excuse me, then you can throw Bogo out there against the other team's top line and let Bufflin and Enstrom have a little more offensive freedom if Enstrom's back soon.
And that'll be the question. Enstrom only played a minute seven before leaving, two shifts before he had to leave with his injury. Evander Kane led all forwards for the Jets in ice time, 21-26 of ice time. Again, I thought he played well. He played with a chip on his shoulder, and I mean, he's...
I thought he played with a chip on his shoulder. I didn't think he played well, Drew. I thought Kane kind of invisible for long periods of time. And I thought it was kind of a regression from last game. But I think part of that is who he's playing with. I don't like the mix at all, so I'm not going to put it all on his shoulders. I think that Bermistrov and him aren't a mix, really, to me. And Bermistrov's more of a carry-the-puck guy, and Kane's more of a straight-ahead guy. And we'll talk about that in the show tomorrow, about what lines we think I personally at least think the team should move to, and it's just take it for what it's worth. It may be worth nothing in your opinion, but you can say they played well, and I think they did, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But right. How many goals have they popped the last 10 games?
And that's exactly it. I mean, the effort was there, but it is a results-oriented business. At some point in time, you need to get more than one goal, two goals, three goals. I mean, look, they won, Tuesday night. How many goals did they have against Philadelphia? I believe they had one goal against Philadelphia, if I'm not mistaken. Last Saturday afternoon against Ottawa, they won 1-0. Tonight, one goal. So, I mean, they're not scoring enough. Against Toronto last Thursday or whatever it was, one goal or two goals, whatever it was. They haven't had more than three goals. It's been a long time since they've had more than three goals.
That's the point. So if you're winning, and you're not really winning,
right.
you can change it up after tonight, and I think you should.
Well, we'll see what Coach Claude Noel has to do on Sunday as the Winnipeg Jets meet the Boston Bruins. The three stars in tonight's game, the third star from the Pittsburgh Penguins was Craig Adams, second star Andre Pavlik from the Winnipeg Jets, and the first star, we spoke about him throughout this podcast, Marc-Andre Fleury, the Pittsburgh Penguins goaltender. Sunday night, 5 p.m., Sunday evening rather, the Jets are next in action against the Boston Bruins. We remind you, 12 noon tomorrow, the Illegal Curve Hockey Show will be on TSN 1290. Jack Edwards, the television play-by-play voice of the Boston Bruins, is going to join us. Also, Mike Harrington from the Buffalo News is going to join us. The Jets play in Buffalo Tuesday of next week. We'll have another comprehensive recap of tonight's Jets-Penguins game. We remind you to follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. Follow us on Facebook, facebook.com/IllegalCurve. And the website is www.illegalcurve.com. For Richard Pollock, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. And we wish you, for the Illegal Curve post-game podcast, a good night, and we'll see you at 12 noon tomorrow on TSN 1290.